Good morning. How is everyone? Good. Well, I'm very excited to be here today. So some of you probably know I recently returned from Russia. And if I ever have the privilege of traveling anywhere with you, you will learn a few things about me. The first thing that you're going to learn is that I love grocery stores, especially in foreign countries. The second thing you'll learn is that I love to wander, and then you'll also learn that I love to wander in grocery stores. So while we were in Kostroma, one morning I woke up, and I woke up pretty early and decided, you know, I'm going to take myself on a little field trip, and I'm going to walk just down the block by myself to the grocery store. And so I didn't tell anyone I was going, I just got up and went, and got down there, and I thought, you know, as long as no one talks to me, I'm good. I can just blend in. I'll be all right. So we get there. I get in. I get my prune yogurt because it's really delicious, and then the sea buckthorn tea, and then I go up to the cash register, and the lady speaks to me, and I stand there. And I went, uh-oh. I had no idea what she was saying because there wasn't a little thing on the cash register pointing at me saying what I owed. So she's looking at me and she kind of pulls my arm and she takes me around so I can see the screen. And I was like, oh, okay, so I'm pulling out the money so I'm able to pay her. So then I leave the grocery store and I walk back to the hotel and I was like, oh, I made it. See, I can get around without a translator just fine. I'm good. For me, there's this excitement about wandering and about exploring and getting lost in new places. And I think I have a pretty keen sense of direction for the most part, so usually I'm not afraid of getting lost. But there are times where it can be pretty scary to be lost. When I was in college, I studied in Mexico for a summer, and our host mom only spoke one thing to us in English, and that was about the taxi system. She said, "This is the taxi company that you are absolutely not allowed to take, just for your own safety." And so my roommate and I went through the summer, and we went to another host family's house for a pool party one afternoon, and we were planning to take the bus home, and it was only supposed to be a few stops, but goodness knows what we were doing, and we missed our stop. And so my thinking was, well, like in America, the bus is going to circle back around. So we sat on the bus. And next thing I know, the bus is pulling into the bus yard, and it's turning off the lights. And my roommate Sarah and I were sitting there, and we were terrified because we had no idea where we were. And the bus driver pointed at this little building that was a bar, and he's like, "You can go find somebody in there." And we just kind of stood there frozen. Thankfully, God sent us an angel, and out of nowhere, there was this kind man who came and said, in English to us, "I can give you a ride." And we went, okay, great. And it was the one taxi company that we were not allowed to take. But we felt like, all right, well, we're together. This is our way home. And so this kind gentleman took us back to our home, and we paid him everything we had in our pockets simply because we were so scared and so relieved to be back home. Today we're going to wander a little bit. We're going to wander as I share a little about our time in Russia and also about the parable of the lost son, the story of two sons, story of their father. And it's a story about being lost, but it's also about the joy of being found. And so please pray with me this morning. Lord God, we give thanks. We give thanks that we are here in this space, that we can worship you. Lord, we pray that you would speak to each one of us in this room today, that you would open our eyes that we can see you, our ears that we can hear you, and our hearts that we can feel you. And Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be pleasing to you, O Lord, our Redeemer. Amen. So today's scripture comes from Luke chapter 15. And it's the story, the parable of the lost son. Jesus continued, "There was a man who had two sons. The younger one said to his father, 'Father, give me my share of the estate.' So he divided his property between them. Not long after that, the younger son got together all he had, set off for a distant country, and there squandered his wealth in wild living. After he had spent everything, there was a severe famine in the whole country, and he began to be in need. So he went and hired himself out to a citizen of that country, who sent him out to the fields to feed pigs. He longed to fill his stomach with the pods that the pigs were eating, but no one gave him anything. When he came to his senses, he said, "How many of my father's hired servants have food to spare? And here I am starving to death. I will set out and go back to my father and say to him, 'Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired servants.' So he got up and he went to his father. But while he was still a long way off, his father saw him, and he was filled with compassion for him. And he ran to his son, threw his arms around him, and kissed him. The son said to him, 'Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son.' But the father said to his servants, 'Quick, bring the best robe and put it on him. Put a ring on his finger and sandals on his feet. Bring the fattened calf and kill it. Let's have a feast and celebrate. For this son of mine was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found.' So they began to celebrate. Meanwhile, the older son was in the field. When he came near the house, he heard music and dancing. So he called one of the servants and asked him what was going on. 'Your brother has come,' he replied, 'and your father has killed the fattened calf because he has come back safe and sound.' The older brother became angry and refused to go in. So his father went out and pleaded with him. But he answered his father, 'Look, all these years I've been slaving for you and never disobeyed your orders. Yet you never even gave me a young goat so I could celebrate with my friends. But when this son of yours, who has squandered your property with prostitutes, comes home, you kill the fattened calf for him.' 'My son,' the father said, 'you are always with me, and everything I have is yours. But we had to celebrate and be glad because this brother of yours was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found.'" This is the word of God. So I wanted to share this parable because during our time in Kostroma, this was the parable that we shared with the students during the week of camp. We had this huge poster of Rembrandt's Prodigal Son, which you see the picture back here, and we hung it in the ministry center. And this picture, actually, the original lives in the Hermitage in St. Petersburg. And if we can go to the next slide, you can see just kind of the scale of it. I'm not very tall, so you can get a sense of how large that painting is. With this parable, Kathy led us through each day a different theme from this parable. And while I'm not going to go through each of those themes this morning, I do want to point out something a little bit different in the story. This is a story of a broken family. And this is a story that each of us can relate to, because no family is free of mistakes. No family is without sibling rivalry or resentment or grudges at some point. And so this is a story that touches at the core of each of us when we think about family. In this story, there are two sons who had very different lives. One son left home and asked for his inheritance. And he said, I want my inheritance. And then he left. And he lived a pretty wild life, squandering all that he had, and he wandered away from home. And what's interesting, the father doesn't stop him. And I imagine that must have been really difficult for the father, to watch his child walk away and to wander off into the unknown. And I imagine that the father probably worried for his son. As a parent of young children, I don't know what it's like to have a child leave home, but I imagine, depending on the circumstances, that it's probably filled with maybe some grief and loss, maybe joy and celebration, maybe some anxiety and fear, or maybe peace and blessings as they go out. The father in this parable freely gave his son a choice by allowing him to wander out in the world. And there are times in life, though, where choices are not freely given and choices are made for others. I just spent a week in Kostroma with this group of 15 to 18-year-olds. And these kids were transitioning from their orphanages, many of them in the countryside, into their technical schools, which are in the city. These kids, many of them were not given a choice to wander. They were removed from their homes because of poor decisions made by their parents, and they became orphaned with no one to look after them. And they've been wandering in a world without the guidance or the blessing of their parents. If we can go to the next picture. This is a picture of the ministry center. And we can go to the next one here, too. Each day while we were at the ministry center, we had a different theme that we were working with. And the first day, our theme was home. What is home to us? You know, and that question has a lot of answers depending on who you talk to. And I want to focus on the girl in this picture who's singing with the microphone. Her name is Orchidea. She was one of the younger campers who was with us this week. She's a 15-year-old girl, beautiful singing voice, and she is going to a tech school for music. The first night when I did my lessons in the evening, and they were, they call it emotional release, and I think of it as, you know, more emotional management of how do we handle ourselves in different situations. And I played this game with the kids, and we used M&Ms, and for each color I asked a different question of what makes you happy, what makes you sad, what are the things that make you angry, what makes you hurt. And one of the questions that I asked, the last question was, what do you hope for in your new home? And this young girl raised her hand, and she said, I hope my mom realizes one day the mistake that she made. And when she said that, she created a space that made it safe for the rest of the kids to be able to share and to go to a different depth. The first day before camp started, I had the privilege of meeting her older sister. And her older sister's name is Madonna. And the Monday night before camp started, we made this amazing Mexican meal, and all the kids who've been through the ministry center are invited to come back. And so I had the chance of meeting Madonna. And when Orchidea came to the camp, she kind of had a sense of what she was getting into because she knew from her sister, because she had heard all these good stories and the things that she would get to partake in while she was there. One of the things that I really focused on that night was that even when choices are made that we don't get to make, we still have the choice in how we respond to all of life situations. We have the choice of how we feel. We have the choice of how we want to move forward in life. And in the parable, the son realized that he made some poor choices. And then he had to make the difficult choice to go back to his father and to ask to be a servant. But his father had more for him than that. If we can go to the next slide. This is team three. This was Bruce's and my team. I just want to share a bit. I want to focus on the boy who's in the black and white sweater, kind of the middle to the left, two away from Bruce. This boy's name is Stas. And he came to the ministry center from a village called Vokma, which is about 9 hours outside of Kostroma. He's a quiet boy with a super, super kind smile. This activity that we were actually doing was part of Bruce's budgeting. And one of the neat things was that every day we got to do field trips with the kids. And in this field trip, we had a budget, and we went to the grocery store, and the kids had to pick out items within a budget that were fairly healthy and figure out the choices that they would make in the grocery store. So we came back, and Natasha, the ministry director, went through each of the team's items and kind of did a little talk about healthy choices and nutrition. And I have to brag because our team spent the least amount of money and had the most nutritious items. So, but the point of this, while we were at the grocery store, I saw Stas talking with an older man. And I didn't know who this person was, and, you know, me being kind of like, well, who is this person? Like, he's talking to this adult over here. And I found out that this older man, and as I was watching him also, Stas was smiling. And his smile, like, you can't help but to be drawn into his smile. So I had asked about his family a little later, and Stas shared that the person he was talking with at the grocery store is his older brother. And so I said, oh, tell me a little more. How many siblings do you have? And Stas is one of six children. He has three brothers and two sisters. Stas is the youngest. He's 16 years old. And his brother that was at the store, who lives in Costa Rica, is the oldest, and he's 30. Stas lit up when you asked him about his siblings and his family. And I could see there was just this light that just came on in him. And one of the days while we were at camp, Stas had an opportunity to spend a day with his brother. And so he left what we were doing, and he was able to spend the day with his brother. And when he came back, he talked about being at his brother's home and being with his brother's family and his brother's children. And you could just see the way he smiled, and there was this lightness inside of him as he shared about that. One of the joys for me was often listening to the way these kids talked about siblings, because many of these kids do have siblings, some who've been in the orphanage, some who have not, depending on what circumstances their lives have been through. I mentioned that this is coming back to the parable, this is a parable about a broken family. And the younger son, out of selfishness, went and said to his father, hey, I want my inheritance. I want to take off. I want my inheritance so I can go and do the things that I want to do. And we know that that had to have caused some division in the family, and especially between the brothers, because the older brother stayed home. And he wasn't very happy when his brother returned. He was actually angry. And he said to his father, look, all these years I've slaved for you, I've worked for you, I've obeyed you, and you haven't even given me a goat to celebrate. And so there's this tension already there. And I love the way the father reacts when he says to his oldest son, my son, you are always with me, and everything I have is yours. But we had to celebrate and be glad because this brother of yours was dead and is alive again. And he was lost and is found. And this parable gives a beautiful image of the way God cares about people. God cares about all his people. And God cares about all the children, those who've become lost, and also his children who have remained close. And God rejoices anytime a child is found. And that's cause for celebration. And families may be broken, but life doesn't stop in the brokenness of our experiences. God placed each of us in a family, and families are never without their problems, as we know. Sometimes families are able to heal from the brokenness, and sometimes they can't. But when they can't heal, God still opens new doors of welcoming, new doors of providing ways for all his children to find home. Can we go on to the next picture here? This girl on the left, both these girls' names are Vika, but I want to focus on the one on the left with the long red hair. Vika, like Orchidea, has an older sibling who came through the camp, I believe 2 years ago. She has an older brother. She was one of the last kids to come to camp. Not all the kids are able to arrive at the same time for various circumstances. And so sometimes that can be challenging as figuring out how are they going to integrate into these kids who've started to kind of build some relationships. And the first day that I met her, she pulled out her phone and she wrote in a translation thing, she said, "Are you from Texas?" I was like, "No, I'm not from Texas. Sorry, Sherry." and so I said, "I'm from Colorado." And she went, "Oh, okay." And she went on with the activity. And so then I found a translator, and I said, "Yana, can you please tell Vika? She asked me about where I'm from, and so I want to tell her where I'm from." So Yana starts to translate. "Lisa told you she's from Colorado." And Vika said, "I know." And she kind of went on with her own thing. And I went, okay, maybe things get lost in translation, but, you know, I'll try again. I'll keep talking because that's what I do, right? But that first day, her brother was also at camp because he came out to meet her. And so for her, I'm guessing there was the safety net of sticking close to him because she really, I mean, where he went, she went. They worked on the activity together, and they just kind of stayed with one another. And so as the week went on and I was able to get to know her, it was really fun to see just the way her personality emerged. She just exudes joy and fun. She is going to tech school to become a cook, and her brother just finished one of the tech schools and works at a meat packing place. And when I got to know her through the week, I asked her also, since I knew she had an older brother, I said, "Tell me about your siblings. How many siblings do you have?" And she said, "Well, there were three of us. We had a brother, but he was adopted." And I went, "Oh, okay." And she said, "So we don't really consider him anymore because he has another family." And, you know, what do you say to that? You know? And so I just listened and as she talked, and I didn't ask a lot of questions about her other brother because I could tell there was kind of this, like, you know, she wasn't going to walk away from me in conversation because we were on the bus, but I could see the sadness as she talked about that. Vika's family was separated in a different way, but God opened different doors of opportunity for family. God reunited her with her older brother at the Kostroma, in Kostroma and at the ministry center, and also opened opportunities of finding family at the ministry center and the people that they're building relationships with now. In the parable of the lost son isn't just about brokenness, but it's also about restoration. It's a story of healing and a story of new beginnings. And we don't know exactly what happened after the father welcomed his son home, but I imagine that there was some difficulty experienced and seeds of healing were planted and opportunities restored for the brokenness. Let's go on to the next slide, though. This is the dacha, and we can go to the next slide. This is other areas of it. The building on the right is a ping pong table and gazebo, and the one straight in the back is a wood shop. And then that little house kind of in between it is the banya. And then go to the next picture. And that's kind of a different view of it. And this is the house that's next door to it. The dacha is a little house that's just outside the city. And can we go to the next slide? This is at the dacha. This is inside. And the gentleman standing on the far right in the back, his name is Mikhail. And he runs this dacha program for students. And this is a place where the students have this amazing opportunity to go on the weekends. And when they go, Mikhail shares all about the dacha ministry when the kids are out there, and he says to them, "You come on a Saturday morning, I'll have breakfast here, we'll eat breakfast together, then we'll go out and we'll work for a bit, and you never do work that you don't want, so you find what it is that you enjoy doing, and then you do it. So you might work in the gardens, A lot of the girls enjoy working in the flower beds. The boys do more of the bigger work in the gardens, I suppose. But they all find something that they are a part of. And after they work, they prepare lunch together. They sit down, they have a meal together around a table, this table. And then in the afternoon, they have leisure time to play ping pong, play board games, whatever it is that they'd like. It's their afternoon to relax then. The dacha for me is a great picture of restoration because this ministry really runs like a family. I mean, you see here just being gathered around the table. There's an opportunity for the kids to come and have a place of belonging. It's a place for them to come and rest. And for many of the kids who've come from the country, being in the city can be really difficult. And a couple of the kids here when I was in the potato field weeding, one of the boys said he really loved being there because it reminded him of the village that he came from as he was able to be out in the gardens and in the quiet space because the city is not a place he was used to. In my experience, too, I think that the dacha is also a place of celebration to take place. You know, you hang out, you play games, you go to the banya, if that's exciting. It's like a sauna. You can sit around a campfire, but you can be together doing things that you love. So back to the parable. The younger son, there comes a point where it says, the son came to his senses, and he made the choice to go back to his father. And we know he didn't go back asking to be part of the family. He didn't go back expecting to sit around the table, but he went back hoping to be a servant. And what I love about this parable, too, is that Jesus uses this language of lost and found. And this is one of three parables with lost and found language, the joy of finding. But in this one, he uses this language of being dead and alive again. And the father says this twice to the brother. He was dead and is now alive again. And it's important because this points to the greater message of the resurrection. And it points to God's grace and the father's mercy. And this parable is really about making a way for life in dead places. It's about making life come around a table. God always provides ways for us to find life, even when places feel dead. And God wants to celebrate any time a child comes home. So I'm going to go to the next slide. This is some of the bounty from the garden. And then to the next slide, please. These are some of the girls working in the flower beds. The next slide. This is out in the potato fields. And the next slide, please. And I love this picture. These are the boys. Two of the boys in this picture that are standing are part of the dacha ministry, and four of the boys sitting around Mikhail were signing up to be a part of the ministry. And then there were two other boys, but they're kind of off to the side, so we can't see them. So six of the 13 kids that came out had signed up to be a part of this ministry program. Next slide, please. This is just having some fun outside and dancing. So next slide. Opportunities to do yoga as well. Next slide. And again, gathering around the table for lunch. Actually, this is dinner, but next slide. So this is our group here. So why do we go to Russia? We go to Russia because we've been invited to be part of the work that God is already doing there. And we don't go as the Americans who have all the answers, but we go to partner alongside the people who are engaging in the lives of these kids on a daily basis. And when we're in Russia, we don't just watch transformation happen. We experience two-way transformation. And we see the difference that it makes in the lives of these kids. And then we leave being transformed by those experiences. Next slide. So this is my friend Natasha. I first met Natasha 5 years ago. And when I met her, she gave us a tour around Kostroma. She had been at the ministry center. She was mentoring younger kids coming in there. And she really enjoyed talking about Kostroma and sharing about the city because this is a city that she created to be a home for her. And I remember when she told me she was excited to come to Kostroma because one of her brothers was also in Kostroma, and so she knew that there was family there when she went. But when I saw her again, I was overjoyed just with tears in seeing her. And in our conversations that we had, I was fortunate to see her twice, both the Monday night at our Mexican meal and then later in the week, late in the evening. And I could tell that she was tired, both from having worked a long day, but then also just the hardships of life that she experiences. She talked about how her family was doing. She talked about some of the difficulties that they'd been going through. And when I asked her, you know, what else had been going on, she started to talk to me about an orphanage that she is a discipler at, that she goes and she volunteers at once a month. And when she started to talk about this, she really lit up. She was excited to share about how she plans activities for these boys, and she goes out there and she never knows, are they gonna do the activity? Are they gonna not do the activity? Because you just don't know what you're gonna get when you show up. But she shows up. Every month she shows up and she goes back and she's there. And she said, some days it's really challenging, as with anything you do, because you don't know what's gonna happen. And she said, and sometimes there's new kids there, and sometimes I don't see the same kids again. But she shows up, and she really loved talking about that. Knowing Natasha has changed my life because she's someone that I really look up to, even though really we see eye to eye. Kind of a short joke. But she loves people deeply, and she wants to make a difference in the lives of other kids who have been orphaned. And because people invested in her life at some point when she was transitioning out of the orphanage herself, she is now investing in the lives of other kids and helping them to know that they are loved and they're important. So going to Russia and helping is part of the relationship, but it's not just a one-way relationship, because going and serving, we open our lives to being transformed by those that we serve and those that we serve with and those that we serve for. Going to Russia is one way we can experience transformation, but there are many other ways too. I don't think you've gotten this yet, but when you walk out today, there's a little sheet that looks like this, and if you could grab one of these from the ushers, I would like to invite you to be praying for each of these students. I'll stay there, actually. This is a major transition time for these kids as they adjust to being in this new school and new place. And maybe we can take a moment to pray for one child a day, maybe one week, maybe a month, whatever is placed on our hearts. Because if there's one thing that I know, Covenant is a place and a family of prayer, and we do that really well. And so there will be other opportunities that I'll share about in praying for these kids, but like the father in the parable, he runs out to meet his son with open arms, and God runs out to meet us on the road that we've been on. No matter where we've wandered to, God is welcoming us with open arms and is ready to celebrate every time a child comes home. I want to go to one last picture here. Some of you know BJ Alexander on the right. This was his birthday. The first day that we had our Mexican feast, we set that night aside to welcome students to come to reconnect. And that was when I met Orchidea's older sister, Madonna. And I don't have a picture of her. I wish I did. But the first thing that I noticed when she walked in the center was she saw BJ, and she walked up to him and gave him a great big hug. And he just welcomed her. And I witnessed a child who had been lost find home in someone that she knew and had connected with. Please pray with me. Lord God, we thank you for the ways that you give us opportunities to come home, for the ways that you welcome us open arms, no matter where we've been, no matter what our story is. And Lord, we pray that you would continue to be with us, to be with each of these students, and to be with everyone who feels lost. Lord, help us all to find home. We pray this in your name. Amen.